never let you down. I'ma shine on sight. Keep your mind on your grind and off of mines. All right, right. Hard, I'm a ball, don't know squares. I float a $250,000 cars everywhere. I go, I know. In the lead, it may seem he might be. But no matter what they doing, they don't do it like me. Like a G, I hold it down for the town I'm at. In a flash like that, recognize I'm back. Strike a back.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. Once again, we're here with Wally, Will T, Fish, and Ray. Hey, Ray, why don't you give us that rundown over there?
Yeah, I'm going to kick off the rundown. Glenn Coffey retired at 23 to obtain a master's degree and a bachelor's degree and also pursue ministry. Percy Harvin, he came back to practice after missing 2 weeks after losing his grandmother and also suffering from migraine headaches. And speaking of headaches and ministry, specifically Buddhism, Tiger Woods, he's continuing to have a tough time on the PGA Tour. Looks like all this stuff is still stressing him out. And the Reds and Cardinals had to be separated after an altercation. And anyway, speaking of fights, Chad Dawson was defeated for the first time in the upset loss, but I'm mad because I didn't get to see the fight. We were all in the wedding.
I got a chance to see it. I don't know about y'all. Y'all stayed downstairs and attended the wedding, but I went upstairs to go watch the Chad Dawson fight. Chad disappointed me, disappointed a lot of people. He was a 4-1 odds favorite. Chad, at certain points during the fight, Chad had him stopped, but Chad just didn't go through. He wasn't aggressive enough, man.
Forget the fight. Let's talk about the highlights of the wedding. That's the big thing.
Oh, yeah. Last week, we told y'all homeboy up in Baltimore was getting married, and everything went well. The tuxedos worked out for all y'all that remember last week, but we end up being ushers.
Yeah. I want to make love in this club.
Well, not all of us ended up being ushers. Three of us at this table ended up being ushers. One individual who was in the wedding refused to help and be an usher.
That's right, the angry light-skinned man. I am not an usher. I was not brought into the game. I was not signed to a 10-day contract to be an usher. I am a groomsman. I do not take orders from women who aren't even married. If you ain't got a husband, I ain't taking your orders about no wedding.
Darrell Revis of the wedding is right here with us, dog. He held out.
I was looking like Rex Ryan, just telling him what to do, letting him know everything, how I felt.
There's no way the best man should be an usher. It was retarded to me.
Ooh. Who's the best man, Waliolo?
Yeah, Waliolo Lolo. And the wild thing about it, she said my name correctly when we was in private. She was just trying to clown me on the slide.
What
I ain't like that.
She was talking to her mom in private.
Me and Jew. She was me and her. Oh. She was talking to us. She was like, Waliolo? I said, okay, good. Come back outside, Waliolo Lolo.
It must be a Baltimore pronunciation.
I don't know. I think she got a little grudge against Prince George's County individuals.
Nah, it's African names are hard to pronounce.
But she said it right first, and then clown it in front of everybody.
Are you salty? Are you
yes,
upset?
I'm very salty.
Are you upset?
Not really salty about.
What else can I be salty about?
Your date.
What? I mean, the dude tried to push up on your woman.
Oh, that dude should have got crushed.
Yeah, and you had a maintenance dude trying to push up on your woman.
I feel like, you know, out of respect for her, I didn't do anything. But dude was, please, let's go on. Let's move on, please.
Oh, yeah, we also had a wolf sighting at the wedding. Somebody mama had a shag on her upper lip. She had it lined up, though, so, you know, somebody out there like it.
My brother.
That y'all was sticking in my eyes, too, matter of fact. Yeah, it was sticking in my
eyes. You had some wolf stuck in your throat.
Harold, my brother, she was sitting on your side, so, hey, we'll talk about that afterwards. Anyway, the wedding was straight. I mean, I had a good time. I think everybody else here had a good time. And speaking of the Reds and Cardinals and Chad Dawson, talking about these fights got us thinking about what we feel are the greatest fights in all the sports, except for hockey, because you know they fight all the time. We'll discuss that after the break. It's your man, Ray Rogers, and over this past summer, my homeboys Wally, Will T, and Fizz tried losing some weight on Celebrity Fit Club. Here's how it went.
Welcome to Celebrity Fit Club Boot Camp. My name is Harvey Walden. I'm going to be your drill instructor and fitness coach while you're here at Celebrity Fit Club. Now, over the next 8 weeks, I could be your best friend or your worst freaking nightmare. The choice is yours. I highly encourage you to respect me and respect the rules, or your life here can feel like a damn eternity.
Go ahead with that, Harvey. Bama's over here just trying to lose some weight.
And you thought Harvey was bad. Well, listen to when Will T told Dr. Ian he's been drinking.
Damn, I stay getting drunk. That's why I can't lose no weight. Blame it on the alcohol.
You're drinking on a weight loss show.
I mean, I need something to calm my nerves down. This show ain't no fun.
Every single week, it's always an excuse. Push through the excuses.
And Wally revealed a horrible secret when we had a therapist come in to work with the fellas.
I asked each of you to bring an item from home, something from your life that you want to leave behind. Who'd ever like to start?
All right, I'll go first. First off, let me be real with you. I brought my diet pills, so let's put that out there right now. Because me, I love to eat. I love eating buffalo wings, onion rings, jollof rice, and goat. Can you blame me?
How did it feel for you to be taking the easy way out?
Feel bad? Not at all. I love eating my African food and my buffalo wings and onion rings. That crap makes me happy.
And at the end, the results weren't good when Fish got on the scale.
Please step on the scale. Your weight tonight is 216 pounds.
Is that good enough for you, Harvey? I'm like 5'8", 216.
Hell no!
The Urban Sports Scene, your place for sports, not for weight loss.
I'm not afraid. Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you there. You can
try and read my lyrics. Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. Hopefully you weren't running a little too late like the bride was on Saturday, but we were too busy shaving our mustaches in the back. But we got to talking about fights early before we went to that commercial break, and one of the fights that really popped up in our mind was the brawl at Auburn Hills. Ron Artest, Queensbridge holding it down, and Steven Jackson throwing a punch at a fan. What was up with that though, when he hit dude with the beer in the hand?
My favorite all time one was Jermaine O'Neal, how he just slept dude. He just slapped him.
Nah.
He just
slapped
dude. Like, huh?
I think that was weak. For real.
Fat Boy just dropped, though. Fat Boy dropped.
He missed a couple punches.
But the main one, he was on the floor, and he just stole him. He dropped.
He slid with it, though.
You can tell Jermaine O'Neal can't fight, because how you slide and slip down when you hit somebody?
There was soda on the ground,
Steven
man.
Jackson, he was the realest in the crowd.
I don't know. Then you had Artest was in another fight. Remember, didn't he get on Shaq one time? Wasn't he fighting Shaq?
Yeah, when it was Shaq and Brad Miller were fighting. And then all you saw coming from the left part of the screen was Ron Artest jumping on the back of on top of Shaq's back. That was hilarious to me. But another one that was even funnier than that was Pedro versus Don Zimmer.
Man, that's like my uncle Don Zimmer, though. But I mean, he got at least a little blow in there. Pedro,
he got thrown like
he
a
got
little
thrown
man
by, he got grabbed by his ears and thrown down to the ground. And Pedro was like, "Who else wants some?"
Did Pedro have like the curl back then, or who was he on?
Like, Pedro curl. He had
okay,
the curl.
He's still rocking the curl.
He had the curl. Nah, he brought it back retro style.
He looked like the Purdue Chicken Man when he fell, like old grizzled.
And it was in slow motion.
That was a mismatch.
It was in slow motion, though. Everything was slow motion.
But another dude, remember when Kobe got punched? Back in the day, when he was like a rookie or second year.
I loved it.
Chris Childs was like fresh out of prison back then. That's when he was like hustling.
He was older though than that.
No, he was his third year.
He had
the afro.
He had the afro, the mini bush.
Yeah,
the Steve Harvey bush.
And he got two pieced.
Yes, it was great. One of the best little punches in
Shaq was like,
the fights.
I don't know how that man get punched on national TV. I do anything back. I don't understand it at all. So it takes guts to get punched on national TV. He carried him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad Chris Childs did it. Thanks, Nas. Appreciate that.
Yeah, he did look like Nas. But one of my personal favorite was Buddy Ryan. It's not the fact that I may look like Buddy Ryan, but the fact that Buddy Ryan.
Why are you comparing yourself to
Chubby? Yeah, I love Buddy Ryan, though. Buddy Ryan and the Ryan family are so cool. I just love Buddy Ryan. I'm about to be a Jets fan, you know what I'm saying, because I love the Ryans. But Buddy Ryan just two-piecing Kevin Gilbert on the sidelines, just like, wow. And Buddy Ryan was like 60-plus years old, hitting this old dude and just going at him on TV. I mean, wouldn't you do that if you was an old man? Yeah. Would you not punch somebody?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I'm going to do it like it old. I'm using my cane.
with a fist on the other end?
Nah. Nah, then I look like some type of Black Panther. Like the dude that tried to steal Wally Girl.
You could have punched him with a cane, Wally.
I wish I did. I really did.
Oh, yeah. Why
I
you really ain't fighting him? Speaking of fights, you know what I'm saying? Could have been a tuxedo brawl.
Hey, man, I didn't want to ruin Harold's
way. They were taping it. It would have been on YouTube.
I just sat by my girl and made sure he knew not to come back. That's all.
Oh,
that's all. He didn't know either.
Didn't he try to talk to her again?
Nah, not when I sat down there.
Oh yeah, it would look like the Riddick Bowe fight. Oh,
Riddick Bowe, who came out through the crowd and swinging.
Man, that was the most serious fight I've ever seen on TV. Jim Lampley was like, "I'm going offset. My daughter's in the crowd." He stayed professional throughout the whole thing, but yet he was like worried about his daughter. He was like,
"Oh man,
I'm leaving. My daughter's in this crowd. I have to find her. She's 16 years old. I'm nervous."
Wasn't George Foreman like that bodyguard so they wouldn't get jumped or something?
Yeah.
But that's what you got to do. Or when you come to fight, you got to throw some chairs. You got to be like, or you can be, you know what? I think the best fight I ever seen was him when Harold fought.
Oh, yeah. he dropped somebody and fell.
He dropped dude from Baltimore and slipped running after him.
And I had to pick his butt up.
Yeah.
Oh, dude might see him now. He live out there.
Oh, it might be his cousin, you know. He in the Baltimore family, so. But that's what it do, though, man. Fighting. But we're going to hop into a commercial break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about that local sports, the National Redskins, and we're going to hold it down right there.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
Well, you've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
I go hard in the...
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We're about to jump into that local sports right now. Steven Strasburg bouncing back from a bad start he just had. I mean, Wally, we're big baseball fans. What do you think about his start?
He gave up some runs his first outing, and you know, bouncing back to it. You know, he showed how a downed pitcher is supposed to perform.
I don't even know what to even say about Strasburg. He bounced back. Then he had some comments for our next guy we want to talk about here, Bryce Harper, with the John Randall paint on his face all the time. He was just signed at the deadline. $9.9 million. He's going to be playing baseball. The 17-year-old is getting paid. Strasburg had some words for him. Was that good with the words he said for him? You think it was hating those?
I think it's a little bit of animosity just because Strasburg is the lead dog in Washington now. And, you know, you bring in a guy like Bryce Harper, who's had all the critical acclaim, and been on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Shut up, Ray. So Strasburg said that, you know, if Bryce Harper doesn't want to be a National, then he doesn't have to be a National. I think that in the future, that could possibly lead to some tense moments between them two in the clubhouse.
Well, he said he ain't wanting to be here. He said if he don't want to be here, we don't want him here. And Strasburg, I think he mad because the stadiums ain't selling out for him no more. I think he's old news that quick.
I don't think he's old news just yet.
Selling out stadiums wise, maybe.
I mean, I think it's just dying down. It's not like the Nationals are really doing anything big, so all the publicity is just gonna die down as the season goes on. But we're gonna hop into some Redskin news. Donovan McNabb had a good preseason game, good couple drives for the Skins. Wally, you're a big Skins fan. What you think of Donovan McNabb's debut?
Yeah, it was an impressive first outing for Donovan McNabb. He went 5 for 8. I believe he had about
58
yards. Thank you, and a touchdown.
That wasn't a touchdown.
It was a touchdown.
Ball didn't break the plate.
Don't worry about it. You hurting because Donovan left. It's okay. Then a touchdown. So Donovan had a good outing.
Did any of the stats count?
None of the stats.
That's what I thought. It's preseason.
Well, hey, I mean, to have a long drive, like an 80-yard drive, especially, you know, starting a new offense is all you can ask for your new starting quarterback.
I mean, be honest with you, I mean, the first couple games of preseason is pretty much so you can get out there and hit somebody that's not your teammate. I really wouldn't look for anything. I really wouldn't make my real take on Donovan with the Skins until probably about that third game when he plays a full half.
So we'll see these next two games when they play the Ravens.
Yeah, real defense,
play the Jets.
Right? We play Buffalo. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. We play Buffalo. It is what it is. The Jets and Baltimore aggressive defenses. They bring it even in preseason. So that, like Will said, that'd be a good indication.
Well,
of
speaking of defenses, Trent Williams is going to have to face the Ravens defense upcoming. Do you, how you think Trent Williams is going to be able to adjust to that?
Well, I can only go off the Buffalo game and what I saw, and he fared well to me. He was aggressive. He had a mean streak. He was pushing people back. He was aggressive. He wasn't playing for contact. He was giving the contact. So in terms of Trent Williams, I was happy with his play.
Man, you sound aggressive over there, man. You all right? Man?
I'm good, man.
Take your pill?
Looking for the contact.
Good.
He's looking for the contact.
The pills were good, man.
But as usual, whenever the Redskins do something good in the preseason, hype comes around it. The impact of these fans have been having on the Redskins winning the preseason, I mean, what you guys think about that? I mean, I've been hearing it all day about, you know, all playoffs and everything else. I mean, it's just a preseason game. I mean, what you guys think?
Man, you should have seen the tweets on the bottom of the screen. For those of y'all don't live around here, Comcast, they allow people to tweet or text message into the broadcast so that you can see it on the TV screen. And so many people saying, Redskins Super Bowl, McNabb for president. McNabb is going to take us to the Super Bowl. I mean, it was like, wow, after one drive.
To me, that just shows me just how desperate the Redskins fans are for a winner. I mean, it's been so many years since you've had a winner, had a good quarterback. You're taking our use, our scraps. And, you know, I feel a certain way about Donovan because he's the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. But, you know, Redskins fans, y'all just happy because y'all finally did something, but you got to be kind of cautious. It's the first week of preseason.
Well, I mean, I can go ahead and answer that, but I won't even get into all that. I mean, as a fan, I'm a realist. We played the Bills. It was the first preseason game. Like I said, Buffalo and the Jets are, in terms of our offense, to prove where we're going to go, that's a better indicator of what we can do.
Me personally, it's the preseason. Don't none of it count. Matter of fact, I got the same amount of passing yards going into the season as Donovan. It's the preseason. To me, you don't start judging your team until the regular season starts. But speaking of also news with the Redskins, Malcolm Kelly, I mean, he's hurt right now, struggling a little. He's not really struggling hard. He's struggling to stay healthy in camp. I mean, you think if he continues to stay, you know, pretty much stay injured throughout camp, is he going to make this team?
Yeah, you know, there's reports out there. Initial reports out there a couple of days ago, they're saying that it's a slim chance for him to make the team. Well, I mean, and now there are reports today saying, like Jason Reed from the Washington Post was saying that Malcolm Kelly, that Malcolm Kelly can still make this team. All he has to do is get on the field and show something, at least by the third preseason game. So Malcolm Kelly's going to make – I think Malcolm Kelly is 6'4". Shanahan has always had a tall wide receiver in terms of in Denver with Ed McCaffrey and Brandon Marshall. So he's used to having a tall wide receiver. With this team, we don't have any tall wide receivers. And Malcolm Kelly's the tallest wide receiver, and he has the best hands.
Man, are you related to Malcolm Kelly?
I'm just keeping it like what it is. Shanahan likes him. It is what it is.
Let me ask you something. What has Malcolm Kelly done in his career in Washington to warrant him sticking around?
What situation has Malcolm Kelly been in to show his talents?
He's been injured all the time. You're not where? So what are you going to?
Devin Thomas
has at least been on this field and showcased some skills.
What fair chance has Malcolm Kelly truly had?
He's had a fair chance with Jim Zorn. The guy was drafted
Jim
in the
Zorn
second
is,
round.
Jim
this
Zorn,
is his third
Jim
year,
Zorn.
And he hasn't
Jim
produced
Zorn
anything.
With Jim Zorn.
Fred Davis produced last year. He was a second round pick.
Malcolm Kelly
with
has
Jim
produced,
Zorn.
Malcolm Kelly producing in San Diego. What's your point?
My point is, Malcolm Kelly has not produced
he
for
showed
a whole
something.
Season.
He showed
it's
something.
Flashes,
none of them has produced for a whole season other than Fred Davis.
Well, me personally, I think that with Malcolm Kelly, I mean, I think his roster spot is pretty much secure because who's going to take his spot?
Wade.
Anyway.
Rodale Williams.
Wade,
be real.
Rodale,
they're going to carry at least
real,
five to six
hey,
wide
no,
receivers.
No, no.
They're going to carry at least five.
I agree with
so
you.
So it's not like anyone's pushing to take his spot from him. At the same time, he's a third-year receiver, so you're going on, you know the talent he has if he stays healthy.
My money says Joey Galloway takes his spot.
Seriously, the Redskins are in this position. They have three players that have a history of injuries right now. Galloway, Williams, and Kelly. What they're looking for is just one of them to pretty much stay healthy for the season. If, be honest with you, the only thing that's really hurting Malcolm Kelly is he doesn't play special teams. That's the only reason I would see him if they do cut him, because he doesn't play special teams. But
I mean, I think if he does leave Washington, there are other teams and other suitors that would love to have a Malcolm Kelly, especially being a young wide receiver. You know, there are other teams out there.
I don't see a point of really giving up on him just yet. If he has he has an injury bug. You pretty much want to let him play out this season, see where it goes from there. Even though I'm rooting for Devin Thomas, when both of them were drafted, I thought Devin Thomas was probably going to be the better all-around wide receiver. But at the same time, you can't give up on a Malcolm Kelly type talent. You just need him getting healthy.
I mean,
and that was the problem when he got drafted. His problem was
always injuries.
Was his injuries, his health, and that's what the Redskins knew when they got him.
The guy didn't produce in college.
He produced in college. His problem was staying healthy for all season long. When he was in college, he always missed 1-2 games here. But his problem has always been
someone
his healthy
needs stat boy.
Vinny Serrato. That's the only thing I got to say about this.
Someone needs stat boy, for real.
I don't need stat boy.
Vinny Serrato.
College.
Vinny Serrato.
You need stat boy? You want to go back to the state?
No, I don't need stat boy.
Don't worry, Malcolm Kelly. Wally's out here rooting for you. But when we come back from that commercial break, we're going to hop into our segment called Area Codes. We're going to hop onto the West Coast with the NFC West. We're going to give y'all a little what we think of each team out there.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next It's the Big Thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Team?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you're familiar with him before the Urban Sports Team when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Team because you never know who's listening.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We just seen Malcolm Kelly in the hallway. We just threw the ball. He caught it all right, so his leg's feeling fine out there. But we're going to throw it over to Ray. Ray, tell these people how to reach us.
You can email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Hit us up on twitter.com/urbansportsscene. You can check out our blogs at urbansportsscene.blogspot.com. Also, check us out on iTunes and on Podbean. http://WaleO, WALEO is the spelling, .podbean.com. We're blowing up.
My man.
And if you want to page us, you can page us at 202-527-URBAN. That's how we go. But now we're about to hop into our different area code segments. We're going to hop into the NFC West right now. I'm going to start off with Arizona. Right now, Arizona, they lost a lot of talent. Also picked up a few guys. They lost some big names. Kurt Warner's gone and retired. They about to make a movie about him. Denzel Washington's going to play Kurt Warner. They lost Carlos Dansby, a free agent. He's down in Miami. Larry Fitzgerald has a, you know, bummed up knee right now, but he should be all right by the opener. They lost Antrell Rhodes over to the Giants. I don't know why they gave him all that money, but...
Let me find you scared to mention your man, Dockett.
You want me to call him out? We was in the club with some me girls. I ain't gonna fake it. You know who I am. I call him out. Matter of fact, Dockey got the beefing with Levi Brown. I wonder who won that fight. But no, right now, Arizona, they really been, I think their focus this season is going to be on defense and having the ball control with Matt Leinart. Because right now, they brought in some veteran linemen. They got Alan Faneca playing up front. I don't know what they're going to do with Deuce Lututu. Faneca's pretty much took his spot. So, the guard from USC, Liner's boy.
Everybody from USC.
So, I mean, Beanie Wells should have a better season this year. I think he's going to be the lead back. They got plenty of weapons. They got Doucette. They got a boy, Stevie, from Michigan. I mean, they should really be set at wide receiver. The thing about their defense, I think linebacker, they're going to really miss Carlos Dansby. But Gerard Hayes has really been getting on the team. Joey Porter's been in, like, the best shape. So, I think this season you can probably watch out for Arizona.
Okay, that's nice.
So, I mean, Wally, what's going on in the big up north and up northwest with Seattle?
Seattle, see, I mean, in terms of Seattle, we all know Pete Carroll is now manning that team. He's pretty much brought a USC flavor in terms of the energy and whatnot over there. He's brought his own style. The big story and the feel good story is Mike Williams. Mike Williams is on the team. He's playing well. He's lost a lot of weight. We all know he was a top 10 pick for the Detroit Lions. I guess this weekend, Saturday, he had a catch for a 51-yard touchdown, and it was more a run after the catch. So it's a feel good story. Currently, he's number 4 on the depth chart. We all know that they traded also to get Charlie Whitehorse. They're high on him. They're obviously they're really high on him. He had 2 touchdowns over the weekend. What else he do? I believe
he's pretty much been pushing Hasselbeck.
That too.
This sound like your winning speech.
No. Touche, touche. If he if he continues how he's playing, the Hasselbeck slacks off. He can take the Hasselbeck spot. Pete Carroll is brought out competition.
Coach.
Pretty much, Pete Carroll has been putting as much competition to win jobs. I mean, as a side note for Seattle, they made a trade yesterday for defensive lineman
Kenwan
Bomer from San Francisco to bring him on because they really needed help on the D line. But Will, what's going on in the Bay Area, man? You been hyping? Was it still hyping over there?
It's real hyping over there.
Yeah,
speaking of the 49ers, they recently just signed Brian Westbrook to be their backup running back because Glenn Coffey decided to retire. He found God, which is an admirable thing to do.
Yes, sir.
But there's a lot of enthusiasm out in the Bay Area. There are a lot of people excited about the San Francisco 49ers. Me personally, I think that the 49ers are probably going to have the third best record in the NFC. That's high expectations.
What's been going on with Crabtree out there?
Crabtree, he looks excellent. Everyone thinks Crabtree is going to be developing to that number one receiver because people are looking at his stats from last year and seeing him project over a whole season and with his growth in the offense. Then you also have Vernon Davis, who to me is the best tight end who's established himself
fantasy,
as
fantasy
the best,
every year.
Best tight end in the NFC.
Yeah, he tried to take Wally Girl.
And then you also, but the big question on offense is Alex Smith. A lot of people are saying this is the make-or-break season for him because a lot of people are saying that it depends all on him. Depending on his play, this team could be either an 11-5 team or an 8-8 team.
What about Tekken Jr.?
A lot of people are excited about him in the slot with his speed. They think if they're going to continue to run the spread offense like they did last year, you have Tekken Jr.'s speed in the slot. Then you also add Brian Westbrook, and then you have Crabtree and Vernon Davis. It's a pretty explosive team.
You sold me.
Anthony Davis, the first round pick, left tackle, has been having a solid camp also. But Ray, what's going on with my Indian brother Sam Bradford out in St. Louis?
Well, I covered Nellyville, and folks are pissed that Westbrook chose San Fran over St. Louis, especially with him saying that the number one thing was that he wanted to go to a winning franchise or winning organization. Right now, I don't think they're a winning organization. I mean, I understand they got Singletary and they got that history. But anyway, I guess Tip Drill was one enough to land him in St. Louis. It got me there, though.
Over here.
Also, today was headlined by what the St. Louis Post-Dispatch described as a foot brawl. Most notably, Howie Long, his son Chris Long, got into a fight with tackle Jason Smith. And when D-tackle Gary Gibson tried to break it up, my man Steven Jackson jumped in the middle of it and snatched his helmet off. Was like, let him fight it.
Another Steven Jackson. Another Steven Jackson?
Well, yeah, the running back. He tried to steal a girl, too. Everybody
that
got dreads tried to steal a girl, though. Steve Spagnuolo, he basically said that this happens frequently and all teams go through this around this time of the year. But the coach threw the offensive line under the bus, dog. I mean, it overshadowed Sam Bradford's performance totally. Sam Bradford, he got sacked 4 times on 17 pass downs, which is 1 sack for every 4 pass plays. That's terrible.
And no injury, right?
Nah, he's not injured. Actually, he said he's feeling pretty good, but nobody's talking about that. Everybody's talking about the offensive line, how it was terrible, and how they can't win like that. But he didn't throw the offensive line under the bus. He said he read the protections wrong. He made some bad reads. I think he's trying to be a leader, trying to be accountable.
We'll see what happens when week 10 and week 9, when they still doing that same thing.
But let's transition to some other preseason debuts. I mean, I started off with Sam Bradford. I told you, they're not talking about him in St. Louis. They're talking about the O-line and all the fights. But one writer was quoted as saying, it doesn't matter who's playing QB, him or Philly, you got to have a good offensive line or you're going to be bad regardless. And Bulger, he's still being discussed out there. He was mad because people threw him under the bus. He's saying he still should be there. But anyway, let's move on. All the quarterbacks didn't fare so well in their opening preseason debuts. Joe Kane, Jimmy Clausen, my bad. He looked the most effective in most opinions, and Colt McCoy was the worst.
I mean, two interceptions,
I know, in limited action. So
he was horrible. He was, and he got hurt.
Then Tebow, Tebow ran for a touchdown, but that's against UPS workers. I really didn't expect that touchdown, man. That was like UPS workers and like Chipotle people make bowls at Chipotle.
And did you see him? Did you see him throw? He still threw the same way to me. He threw the same exact way. Nothing changed.
Whoa, Tim Tebow. He's not even. You can see he's like years and years away of even being an everyday starting quarterback. So I think the quarterback class of this year's draft, it was so overhyped that they're pretty much going to be washouts by the second and third season.
And the most impressive rookie in that game two rookies had to be Jordan Shipley and Jermaine Gresham. Both of them had good games for the Bengals.
Okay, but speaking of other NFL news, Brandon Marshall, is he like a point guard for the Heat or something? That's what he's trying to do? He was dropping passes. He can't be the point guard if he's dropping passes. What's up with Brandon Marshall, though?
I was disappointed with his debut because he was hyped coming to Miami. Miami was looking at him as the savior, kind of like Ricky Williams to New Orleans type of thing.
I don't know. Brandon Marshall trying to be like LeBron right now. He got all tatty.
I know. Shaved his head.
Grow up.
Big milk dud head.
I heard he can't even knock and he's trying to go to the NBA.
He on that Lance Stevenson, beating women all the time. But I wonder if he hang with LeBron. He probably shaved his head in honor of LeBron because his hairline is so bad.
That's something they both got in common, both on bad hairlines. But other news, Jason Campbell is having a pretty good – well, he had a – pretty good training camp out there, but his receivers can't catch the ball. We already know who that dude's name is, Hayward Bay, so.
And last week, Raleigh said he's catching the ball now.
Is he catching the ball now?
He was, till the first preseason game.
He's like hot hands from Little Giants,
exactly,
man.
Exactly.
He need to get some stick him or something, man. But T.O., is he becoming T.O.'s little brother? Because T.O.'s been dropping a lot of balls. Is that a good? I don't know. I really want to say that. Right. I don't know.
Who wants to hold on the balls? I'm upset.
T.O.'s been dropping Chad Johnson balls, I guess. I don't know. My bad. But
yeah, that's a good
one. He wasn't really catching too many passes against Denver the other night. But it is what it is. We're going to get it. But when we come back, we're going to get into that fantasy. We got a couple champions sitting at the table. We got some also, what would you consider yourself in fantasy?
I was a runner-up one
year. He's consistent. He's a consistent player.
But we'll see if preseason indicates how people going to draft in fantasy football.
When we get back, we're going to hop into that. When we get back from that commercial break, we're going to hop into that fantasy football.
I'm Ed Smart, father of a child who was abducted.
I'm John Walsh. Like Ed, I also know the terror of having a child who was kidnapped. But now we have wonderful technology to aid in this battle.
It's called the Amber Alert. It's an early notification system to the public when every second counts.
Amber Alert is a partnership. We want to thank you, the public, broadcasters, transportation, and law enforcement. Amber Alert really works.
Damn, has it been that long? Say, what happened since I've been gone, homie? Y'all got the game all wrong, man. It's too pretty in here. Let's say we take it back to the trap one time.
I went from rolling with them rocks on the blocks, controlling my position at the top of every chart. And I will not stop. Back
where we ride, and we roll, and we stop. And we go, and we go, yeah, you know, yeah, you know.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene from that good old commercial break. But we got some breaking news, though. If you haven't heard, Brett Favre, it looks like he's returning to the Minnesota Vikings. Is that going to affect anybody's fantasy football strategy right now? Because I don't pick Brett Favre in my fantasy.
Nah, it won't affect mine.
So, Will, you're the defending champ. Anything you got, any pointers, any tips, cheat sheets you want to try to maybe throw out there for some folks?
Well, yeah. I have my own strategy when it comes to drafting in fantasy football. The key thing that I never do is I never, ever draft a kicker. I'm sorry. I just don't waste a roster spot on the kicker. I wait until my roster is filled up. Then I see who's the best kicker available out there that's left as a free agent. Because you got to think about it. Between kickers, the difference between kickers is not a lot of points.
So you cut a player that you drafted.
What makes you
just
somebody
going to
win? Is somebody going to win because of that?
I know, a kicker.
We all got kickers like 15 rounds.
I thought you was going to talk about some players.
You mean to tell me you
I'm
drafted
not giving away all of my championship secrets.
You got
now.
All your championships.
I'm sorry. I'm not giving away all of my championship secrets.
Your championship secret.
My championship secret.
I'm sorry. I've never won a championship. I want to know how. But that wasn't going to help me. You had told me before the show, you said, I'm going to talk about how I don't draft a quarterback to at least the fifth round.
Yeah, that's exactly. Good. That's another one. That's another one I'm about to. That's right, what I'm
let
saying.
Let him go.
Me personally, another thing I don't do, I don't draft quarterbacks before the fifth round. I just don't see the point in it. I see a lot of people picking guys like Peyton Manning in the first round, but if you look over it statistically, Peyton Ryan. Manning never really gets more than maybe two or three touchdowns per game.
And what's
No, excuse me. He might have two or three games where he has two touchdowns.
So what position do you value more?
What position I value more? Running back.
Okay.
Running back. The first two picks, I usually pick
advice.
A running back.
This is terrible advice, dog.
First of all, everyone, he lucked into his championship. He lucked
into a
bag.
How did I luck into a championship?
You lucked into your championship very bad.
How did I luck into it?
Because Keith's on like Hawaii time. That's how you lucked into your championship.
I did. Actually, I beat you, right?
Did you? No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. We split.
Yeah, I did.
We split.
But I beat you.
Answer the question.
Okay. Did I beat you?
Who
did
has
I
more championships?
You? Did I beat you?
Who has more championships?
Why are you talking about the past? We're talking about... Why are you talking about...
Well, your
title's
from last season.
No, I'm talking about last season.
Your title's from last season.
We're talking about last season.
Your title's from last season.
Okay, exactly.
Now...
I'm the reigning champion.
People, we're supposed to be giving advice.
My advice for you, never pick players from losing teams. That's the only thing I can tell you. Always pick players from winning teams.
That's not good advice. Jones Drew is always good. His team sucks.
That's true.
And what does he do?
We have no experts. You Man, guys are one, but you suck. You can't tell anybody anything.
Why would
good.
I give out my secrets for winning?
You don't have any secrets. You picked Peyton Manning when he was good a couple years back.
Is he not
that
good anymore?
That wasn't a good secret. You lucked up and got the random pick. The strategy starts of where your draft position is, first of
yeah,
all,
that's
people.
True.
Go ahead,
though. And to me, just you load your stock up on running backs, and then you just draft off any wide receiver you can in terms of regular wide receivers. Running backs is where it's at, hands down.
All right, the fantasy football advice
you know
is
I mean?
Horrible so far.
How would you draft, Ray?
Mr. No Championships, how do you draft?
I know, you were like telling everybody horrible.
I understand that. I mean, just because you won, I mean, you can teach. Larry Bird can't be a coach.
Exactly.
Magic can't be a coach.
I understand
but they're
that.
Winners.
I understand that.
So therefore,
and I'm a winner, so that's why you should listen to me and not you.
Huh? Wait a minute. You won last year. The year before, you were terrible. The year before that, you were terrible. The year before that, you were terrible. You made the worst draft day trade in history, getting Lawrence Maroney as your second pick in the first round.
But
come
I also
on,
made one I of the best it. Picks last year that you questioned and you laughed at when I picked Chris Johnson.
Okay.
In the first round, my first pick.
It's all coming.
Like I'm saying, I'll give you that.
I still have the paper.
Here we go.
I still have the draft board.
First of all, like I said, it starts with your draft position. Second of all, who's hot? Michael Turner was hot last year. So, Fish, you took him. The year before that, I took Michael Turner in the sixth round. So, you're going off who's hot. That's my second word of advice and most effective for the people listening. And thirdly, you want to see who's available, who's the best available.
I think
at the time last year when I drafted, Fitzgerald was the best available, so I took him first, even though it was a Madden cover jinx or whatever may have happened. But, like I'm saying, it all starts with your draft position. Then, who's hot? Then, who's the best available at the time?
And at best,
that's how you draft.
And you got to pick that sleeper.
You don't obviously take a defense in the top eight picks unless it's like a shutdown
like
Jets,
Baltimore.
But I mean, it's a lot of things that you can tell people, but not what you guys are saying. I'm sorry, but go ahead, winners.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, to be honest with you, I usually try to go for the best available talent.
Me, I just try to stock up.
Exactly.
I try to stock up on running backs. That's
I go
all
try to go
do.
For the best available talent.
But you were Michael Turner last year, who was hot. Chris Johnson was obviously the better option.
Yeah. No, where I was picking at. I was picking in the late round. Turner was still available.
So Chris Johnson.
No, he wasn't.
So
he picked Chris Johnson before he picked Michael Turner.
In this year, when we do our fantasy, who would y'all
who
would
y'all say was picking
that last year? You picked after Fish because you did better the year before.
Yeah,
Fish.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
had the opportunity to get Chris Johnson.
I didn't take him.
Because you got who was hot, right?
No, I went with Michael Turner because I knew they was going to run the ball more.
All right, so who?
Turner was hot.
In terms of running backs, who's the best running back in this fantasy draft right now?
Chris Johnson.
He's
hot.
Chris Johnson.
That's probably going first.
See, whoever gets Chris Johnson is going to lose. Watch.
And me personally, a guy that I think is
because he's
happen.
Obvious. He's the obvious.
I mean, Mendenhall, he's going to be on the come up this year because
why?
They're going to be running.
Exactly.
They're not
like
going to have Ben. Beanie Wells is going to be running the ball.
Beanie
they don't
Wells
want to have
Beanie
Matt
Wells is real. He's a
Beanie
sleeper.
Wells can be a sleeper for you later round, saying that second. So if you,
yeah, that's
for your second or third round.
You're right.
I agree.
Mendenhall. As far as Mendenhall, I think what we're going to see from Pittsburgh, they're going to throw the ball more than
now in the beginning of the season, though, because Ben Roethlisberger is not going to be there, so they're going to run the ball a lot with Mendenhall.
You need to hone in on Sean Green.
He's not going to split the carries.
LT cannot play second fiddle to anybody. That's the reason Michael Turner left. That's the reason he couldn't stay in San Diego too much longer with Spurls. He doesn't like playing second fiddle. You think he's going to let Sean Green take his carries? No.
I'm going to help you.
And that one catch,
Matthews
he looked
from San Diego.
Matthews from San Diego is going to be a sleeper. Oh, you can have him light-skinned running backs all you want.
That's an ESPN one right there.
I'm just telling you, he's going to be the sleeper.
A light-skinned running back?
Name a good light-skinned running back.
From the Colts.
And what did he do?
Donald Brown.
Yeah, I mean, he was a backup. He was effective in his role.
Yeah. Or are you going to pick Donald Brown in the first round?
No.
Robert Smith was a good running back, and he was light-skinned.
Seriously, you going to go with a Buckeye? I thought you was a Wolverine.
I am. I'm just giving the fact. He was good.
Hey, man. I gave three good tips. Y'all got any other tips? Because y'all haven't helped anybody.
And get Randy Moss.
Jew, are you taking
don't
notes?
Don't believe the naysay. Get Randy
Moss.
We're
going to do a fantasy Brad Means draft next time.
Get Randy Moss. Don't believe the naysayers. Get Randy Moss out there.
I would have took the skinny chick that had like the little rose or whatever.
Oh, yeah. She was the best looking one out of all of them.
Yes, we got a little bit more excited. We found out her real age. She's like 25.
For real?
She good to go. It's grass on the field.
Play ball, baby.
Anyway.
But I don't even know where to even continue that.
Ryan,
it was grass
Ryan,
on the field.
Up,
you it was gold in the stands, brass in the stands. So I don't even know where to even.
Hold up. You were trying to go at the one you walk with. And then Brian took her.
I don't know. I think she tried to take Brian because Brian didn't even like that. I think she's trying to do what BB do, snatch a man up. But it is what it is, though. We're going to hop into that commercial break. We come back. We're going to be getting into that NBA action. Carmelo, Charles Barkley. Is he going to jail?
For Barkley?
Yeah.
For what?
Not yet?
Oh, not yet. We'll talk about it when we come back.
One of our listeners with a family history of diabetes and kidney disease said, "I'm interested in nutritional tips to help prevent kidney disease." Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you Healthy Moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. One of the main causes of kidney disease is diabetes. So if you prevent diabetes, you may also be preventing kidney disease. You can reduce your risk by losing a small amount of weight, and these food tips can help. Try getting one new fruit or vegetable every time you go to the store. Choose veggie toppings like spinach, broccoli, or peppers for your pizza. Try baking or broiling instead of frying, and work your way down from whole milk to 2% until you're using skim. And for more tips, visit our website, yourdiabetesinfo.org, or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more Healthy Moments.
Y'all look the other way, but I'm starting shit. Y'all niggas who ain't built like y'all. BFW, built for war. I like this hook, I like this beat. It's the type of shit that let me talk to the street. Been in the game, went in the game, still in the game.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We was having some fun during the break for you guys, but before we get into the NBA discussion, man, let's get into that Barkley soundbite first. What he said about LeBron.
No, and I heard about LeBron's little tweet today that he's remembering everybody who said anything bad about him, and he says everybody. Well, I want him to make sure that he puts my name on there, because I thought that was a little, you know, his little 1 hour special was a punk move. I thought them dance around on the stage was a punk move, and I thought he should have stayed in Cleveland. Him joining Dwayne Wade's team was very disappointing to me.
Yeah.
So
hey,
make sure he tweet back to me that he put me on the list of people who didn't like what he did.
And I love how you want to be on that list.
You know, I say he got enough people kissing his ass with his family and all the people who work for him. We don't have to tell him what he want to hear all the time. That's one of the reasons some of these young guys, my opinion is he should have stayed in Cleveland. But that 1 hour special, them sitting jumping around on stage like punk, that wasn't cool to me. But as from a basketball standpoint, I wish he had stayed in Cleveland. And if he takes that as criticism, so be it. He know where I'll be. I don't run. I'm on TV every week. I'm easy to find.
Man, what y'all think about Barkley going at LeBron with them comments, though? I mean,
I thought he was comical. Call LeBron a punk. I mean, that's kind of street to me. Barkley got hood real for a hot second.
I just think Barkley is just upset because he couldn't pull it off like LeBron could pull it off and play. It didn't work for him when he went to Houston with Drexler and Olajuwon.
But slam Shaq, he ain't no punk.
I mean, he didn't even take the politically correct route. He was just basically saying that LeBron's a punk. I mean, that's kind of wild. Like,
I mean, that's Barkley. That's Barkley. That's why people respect him so much. He speaks like, his mind.
Barkley must have thought he was 26 again.
I think he was back in Philly eating cheesesteaks again. Uh-huh. But, I mean, LeBron was tweeting. He got that GQ article right now. I ain't from Cleveland. I'm from Akron, like Jay Reed from In Too Deep. So, I mean, he's from Akron, so, I mean, what people in Cleveland supposed to think about that?
That's wild. If he's saying that he never liked people from Cleveland because they were upscale.
I don't know what's Akron got on.
Akron
must be the wasteland.
Must be the slums for real. Oh, my God.
Nah, but the dude who did the interview for GQ, he talked about how LeBron in his memoir labeled his decision to play for the white high school over the black high school the decision. So he basically replicated that in this whole Miami decision. So that was planned out years ago, even though he didn't know where it was going to take him. But that's where the basis of the whole quote-unquote decision came from.
And he also said that LeBron was trying to relive that hatred, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
back then,
people
in Akron kind of disliked him for going with the white school. Now here, you have people in Cleveland hating him for going to Miami. Not just Cleveland, obviously, but
also reliving playing with your boys and winning everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which you did in high school.
Basically.
I mean, but would you, I mean,
that's not wrong with that. It's all about
go
winning.
Go where you can win at, man. Who wants to be a loser? I mean, unfortunately, Cleveland, it's a loser city.
Who goes there for vacation? When do you ever hear somebody say, I went to Cleveland?
All we
got to
do is quote Yo
Rock
Kim
and Roll
Noah.
Hall of Fame and, you know, Bone Thugs reunion tours, I guess. I don't know. I got Ray Cassidy, so, I mean, maybe that's maybe something to go to Cleveland
every
for.
Time we talk about Cleveland, it's No Kim Noah, whatever his name is.
Has to.
Ray Cash, Bone Thugs, every time.
What else is in Cleveland?
Drew Carey, that's another one. The Indians, I don't know. It's sad. That's what I'm saying.
Is Craig Elo even still in Cleveland? He probably not. I don't know. Look at Brad Darty. He left Cleveland and went to North Carolina and started NASCAR. They don't even talk about Cleveland. They didn't even make a throwback Brad Darty jersey for him, man. Let's stop talking about Akron and Cleveland and LeBron anyway. We've been talking about him all summer, but let's get on Carmelo, LeBron's other side, I guess. To me, he's like the other side of LeBron. They came up together.
Other side?
Like the alter ego side.
Nah,
I mean,
he's from
B-more. Yeah, that's just like Akron. You've been to Baltimore.
Oh, my God.
Baltimore's getting it right now. Wedding and all. They getting it right now.
Hey, we doing our 30th episode in Baltimore, our 30th anniversary episode.
At the BWI Marriott.
We got to watch out for that.
But Carmelo's decision right now, they don't even know what to do with him in Denver. They want to try to trade him, get something for him, because Carmelo going to sign that little 3-year.
They need to trade him.
What is it, $65
million? Here's the reason why he wants to leave and go to New York. Lala is trying to get back into MTV, get back into her whole career. And where is MTV based at?
New York.
Times Square, mm-hmm. Exactly. So he's like, I'm going with you, baby. You know what I'm saying? He's whipped.
Yeah. It makes sense.
I mean,
he went to Syracuse.
The only thing he's...
That ain't even near New York City, man. That's like upstate.
She took some time off, you know, for the baby and everything, but now she's ready to go back to work. So he's like, I'm going with you.
It makes sense to me.
Does MTV even have shows anymore?
I know. Do they
have
TRL?
So they don't even show music. So how is she even going to get back on MTV?
They do TRL.
Jersey Shore. I don't know.
What's she going to be? Lala? What's the black part of Jersey Shore? Well, you from you got folks in New Jersey. Asbury Park? Is that where they're going to be at?
Asbury Park.
She can take Snooki plays. That's your girl.
You don't like Snooki?
Not really.
Man, I like Snooki.
She
She's
was in
like
the
a
wedding.
Fullback, man.
Oh, she looked like she was in the wedding.
Yeah, I think I walked with Snooki.
She looked like she was in the wedding.
They ain't had no Jay Wiles and no Sammys. I mean, I watched Jersey Shore.
Matter of fact, it looked like Ray walked down with her little sister.
Dang, Tom.
No, Snooki's not bad looking. I got a cousin that look like Snooki.
You think Carmelo's going to have a decision? Like LeBron?
Nah. It's not going. He's not going to stretch it out like that. I think Denver is going to end up just trading him because they learned their lesson from Cleveland. You don't want to get nothing. So I think New York probably is the most likely.
I'm
going to
throw this out here. Do you think the Wizards have enough to bring Carmelo to DC?
Absolutely not.
Okay, what kind of commodity
Parkway? BW Parkway.
They want to trade John Wall. Maybe.
I mean, no. If they were to find a way to convince Denver to take, say, Gilbert
Big Daddy Wookie.
Somebody, I mean, try to come up with some type of package or even try to compete for it. Did you think they even try to even, I mean, at least try to make a push for it?
We got BW Parkway.
I do think he's that home. Under, with Ted Leonsis as the owner, I do think the Wizards would be a good organization for Carmelo to come to. I do, because listen, I think if they get Carmelo Anthony, I think Ted Leonsis will do anything within his power to build a winner around.
We have the original BET building with busted windows and graffiti. Lala wants to go to MTV and work.
We can get Lala on TV1 and she can have a job.
Exactly. There you go.
More respectable than BET.
That's not in D.C., is it? That's
TV1 is right up in Silver Spring.
Silver Spring. Okay.
TV, we can get her on TV1. Matter of fact, if she wants to, we can bump Lil Mo on 95 and get Lala on the radio. We can take care of Lala. Lala, if you're listening, we can hook you up. We can get you coming on after Tigger, because don't nobody listen to this show anyway. I'm a Russ Paul person, so.
Man, well, I listen to USS. That's it. That's all I listen to. You don't listen to the Urban Sports Scene, evidently.
I did listen last week because I didn't really like all that talk about Randall Cunningham, but I don't even want to start that up again because y'all were so biased on one side.
Oh, Carmelo's going to New York whenever he gets a chance.
Carmelo should go to Brooklyn and play for the Nets.
He'll
be up in Jay-Z's video.
I mean, they offer him a lot of money, so basically if he doesn't accept it, they should just trade him.
It's going to be an underground DVD, stop snitching type thing. Yeah. You're going to find it in your barbershop. Jim Gray ain't going to be on there. He's going to have some Sherm head. One of Juan Dixon people.
But before we wrap up, though, Will, you got any final thoughts about Carmelo, though?
Not really. I do think that ultimately, me being a Knicks fan, he probably will go to New York. I'll be excited. Him and Amari Stoudemire playing in Mike D'Antoni's offense. Watch out. Knicks coming back, baby.
Well, that kind of wraps up the scene for the Urban Sports Scene this episode. But
wraps up the scene?
Man, that's like the bridesmaids calling right there knocking on the door. They must have heard what we had to say.
Change.
But before
we
go,
got no more food.
But before we go, Wally, please, folks know how to reach us.
You can reach us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Also,
Twitter.
Check our website out at http.wallyo.podbeam.com. Ray told you how to spell it, so I don't have to say it. You can reach us on Twitter. Say it again, Ray.
Twitter.
There we go. Urban Sports Scene. Search it.
But on the truth list.
iTunes.
On behalf of the Urban Sports Scene, we want to holler out a congratulations to Harold and DB. But I don't know. Yeah, my mic kind of fell down.
It's
so
on the gangster land. It's on the
right
gangster land. Look at
but
that.
We want to send a congratulations to Harold and DB on a happy wedding, future years to come. We're very proud of Harold. He finally got his wife that he wanted. He's in love right now. So big shout out to them. But on behalf of the Urban Sports Scene, we'll holler back at y'all next week. Recognize I'm back. Strike a match, catch a fire. And a moment I decide that's enough for all your lies. Boy, your bud just died. Step aside, super fly, took the shoes and ate. Cool. Did exit out with all the women like we always do. My desire to retire, grow with every.